kwakuwankwamnyako nauvuku naundukufu ata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jamboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me from somewhere in the world, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you today?
Jambo, Dave, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Where are you calling us from?
I don't know if you can hear the rain outside my tent here, but we're at the Kunar River.
Kunar?
Yes, Kunar.
Kunar. Now, It's obviously Asian.
That's true.
I'm going to say, if I'm going to guess Asian, I'll say Kunar. K-U-N-A-R?
Yep.
Pakistan.
Wow, Dave, that was awfully, awfully, awfully close.
Are you going to tell me it's in Siberia or something?
No, we are in the very eastern portion of Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, borders Pakistan.
Yes, it does. Yeah, K-U-N-A-R certainly sounds like a Pakistani or... That kind of name.
Might be the closest you've ever come.
I know. I'm on the continent. I'm probably in spitting distance.
Pretty close to Pakistan. That's true. Dave, recently scientists have discovered, or I should say rediscovered, the Kashmir musk deer, which had not been sighted since 1948. They just spotted some more, so we're here looking for them. They are. They have like fang-like little things sticking out of their mouths. They look like, you know, almost like vampires with their fangs, but those act a little bit more like tusks than they do fangs. And they have special glands that produce musk, hence their name. And one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest reasons why they are so endangered, is the fact that these glands are highly valued for perfumes, incense, and of course, medicinal purposes. It can go for as much as $20,000 a pound for the gland, I should say.
So it was assumed extinct?
It wasn't really known. I mean, as you could probably guess, here in eastern Afghanistan, there's not a lot of people wanting to come here to, wildlife ecology. But recently, scientists from the Wildlife Conservation Society did discover them. It was not known if they were extinct or not. It was not assumed that they were. But it was, you know, there have been some coats found, you know, recently, you know, in black market and stuff. But finally, they've actually spotted some live ones, and that was the first time since 1948.
You know, I actually saw a picture of this very recently on probably Yahoo News or something like that, whatever I was watching. I didn't read the story, didn't see where it was, but I have seen what these things look like. Very peculiar. Very weird to see these kind of like vampire-esque fangs coming down from what looks like a deer, you know?
Yeah, they're not the only deer that have these. There's Chinese musk deers. There's a family of musk deers. There are several different species. All of them have these little tusks that come down from their upper jaw.
Very, very cool. Well, on today's show, Mike and I are going to discuss the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom and the rest of Walt Disney World. Then in our final segment, we're going to kind of give what we want to see out of the project that's happening in Harambe. So stay tuned for that. I'll explain that a little bit more later when we get up to it. But for now, let's start off with the local news. And the first thing is that we've been talking a couple of weeks about how the work being done on the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail. And now we know that the Research Center will also be part of this project as well. I'm not sure, Mike, is it closed at this point?
It is. No, it's not completely closed. You could still go in there.
This is the, for those of you who don't know, this is the building that has the naked mole rat colony in it and other kind of creepy crawlies. I think there might be a mouse or something in there, and there's some spiders and and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Pancake Tortoise is in there.
The Pancake Tortoise, yeah, really cool building with a lot of details. If you get it, if you ever get a chance to walk around the and look at some of the details, the desks and the things that are, you know, the books and the shelves and stuff like that, it really kind of a cool place. What do we know if anything specific is being done here or no?
Just refurbishment, and then periodically some of the animals are off exhibit so they can clean out their areas and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they make it look like, you know, these sort of like terrariums that you would see in a pet store. They make it look like, you know, this is actually a research facility. So
yeah,
Pancake tortoises are in these. I mean, they don't try to make it look naturalistic, so to speak. They make it look like there are researchers, you know, coming in and out of there examining these guys.
Right. Right. It's really cool. Check it out the next time you're around. Certainly after the refurb is done, check it out when you're over there. So, as I said, Pangani's getting a lot of kind of TLC over the next couple of months. We don't know exactly what's going to be the end result of all this other than just sort of a facelift. If there's going to be changes in the animal habitats or anything like that. We don't know any more than what we've been reporting, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so let's go on to the next one. According to a story from the Stanley News and Press out of Albemarle, North Carolina, the Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund has awarded a grant of $25,000 to the North Carolina Zoo for their Unite for the Environment program in Uganda. The zoo, which is in Asheboro, North Carolina, says the program's mission is to, quote, conserve wild areas in and around Kibale, I hope I'm saying that right, National Park, by inspiring the next generation of Ugandan conservationists and fostering an appreciation of nature and wildlife in rural communities. I only mention these things because, you know, and I'm going to, the same story, I'm going to say the same thing about the next story. It's just because it's good to know sometimes where this money's going. And I think a lot of people don't really kind of keep up with what the DWCF does. They're a little, you know, unless it makes it to the Wildlife Wednesday post on the Disney Parks blog, it really doesn't get much more than that.
Right.
Another DWCF news. This week they announced the 2014 Conservation Heroes Award. The fund's website explains the award like this. Quote, many people around the world have an unwavering passion and interest in protecting nature and its precious wildlife. Every year, the Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund proudly honors these special individuals who dedicate their lives to preserving species in wild places. Today, the DWCF announces its 19 conservation heroes, each of whom will receive a medal and a $1,500 award to share with their nonprofit organization that nominated them. All of these folks are certainly heroes, but I wanted to point out just one, Jackson. This is a tough one. Kubayaya Mbeke, who has dedicated, who has dedicated his life to protecting the highly endangered Grauer's gorilla in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And he works with the Grace Center. And Mbeke is a veterinary technician and staff manager who cares for 14 gorillas in this very war-torn part of the world. The bravery and perseverance of a guy like him is just inspirational. I mean, he's literally, you know, caring for these gorillas in the middle of a civil war. The Grace Center was founded by the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund to care for gorillas orphaned by illegal poaching. The Walt Disney Company happens to be one of its major benefactors. Go to gracegorillas.org to learn more. But, Mike, I wanted to ask you about the Grauer's gorilla.
Yeah.
I'm a little unfamiliar.
Okay, well, it's also called the Eastern Lowland Gorilla, and it's, you know, it's actually the largest of the four different types of gorillas, which are the Grauers, the Mountain Gorilla, which, of course, we all know from Diane Fossey, the Western Lowland Gorilla, which is the most common, and certainly if you see a gorilla in a zoo, it almost assuredly is a Western Lowland Gorilla.
Really?
And then there's the Cross River Gorilla, which is very, very close to the Western Lowland Gorilla, in fact. You know, they've only recently decided that they were two separate things. I mean, for the longest time, it was just basically Eastern Lowland, Western Lowland, and Mountain. But the Grauers are the biggest of the bunch. And they're also, as Davey, as you were alluding to, they're only found in the Congo, which, of course, is constantly under, you know, civil war. I mean, it seems like the Congo has been in civil war since, you know, the 1990s.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly how many, you know, much like the musk deer that I talked about at the beginning of the show, we don't know exactly how many there are. Estimates are, you know, somewhere between 10,000 to 20,000, but they really don't know. They are highly endangered. Obviously, they're limited into where they live, just the jungles of the Congo, or in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And it's just like, you know, obviously when there's a devastating civil war, conservation becomes a very minor topic.
Right.
And, you know, these things become bushmeat and poached and all this kind of stuff. So right. it's difficult. And that particular gentleman who I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name.
Jackson is his first name.
Yeah, Jackson deserves all the credit in the world for putting his life on the line, really, to help protect the growers.
Yeah, and this Grace Center, which, like I said, was founded by the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund, who is one of our conservation partners. You can go to our website and hit conservation, and you'll learn about them and where you can donate. You can also donate directly to thegracegorillas.org. They actually care for, as I said, they care for gorillas who have been orphaned by the poaching or some other sort of, you know, reason for such a thing. And they have a handful of these gorillas that they keep in this center. In the Congo, it really is incredible. The final local story is the website wdwmagic.com has a new aerial photo of the Avatar construction area. And they also have a side-by-side comparison with the one taken back in January. Mike, I'm beginning to think that tracking the progress of this project is like going to be something we're going to spend quite a bit of time on in the coming years.
Yeah.
I would say there's not much new information here other than, you know, there's buildings going up. I mean, there's right. you know, there's foundations in the ground, it appears.
Correct. Yeah, but there's no way to really know what it is. You know, right. I mean, it's not like we're starting to see the evidence of the boat ride or anything like this or the floating mountain or anything. We're still sort of in the early stages, so it's hard to tell. But clearly, you know, a considerable amount of work has been done. It was just as I'm sure we'll get another aerial shot probably in 6 months and see a lot more, but we'll see.
Yeah. And so nothing we can really get out of that. That's it for the local news. We're going to take a short break and turn it over to Safari Mike for the world news in just a second. Coming back on Radio Harambe.
I'm Explorer Mickey, and like most kids, I love zebras, and some of the coolest are the Grevy zebra. But if things don't change soon, there won't be any left in the wild. The Grevy Zebra Trust is doing everything they can to help keep them from extinction. But there are only a couple of thousand left, so we have to work fast. Go to their website, GrevyZebraTrust.org, and donate anything you can. Even a small donation will help keep the Grevy Zebra alive for us kids and the future generations to enjoy.
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time for the world news. And with that, as always, Safari Mike, how are you? And what is in the news?
Well, Dave, we're going to go to Disney Springs in Morocco. But first, let's talk a little bit of Christmas.
Oh, good.
Soon as Halloween's over, we delve right into Christmas. And yeah. Disney, you know, is going full steam ahead. we are recording this on a Thursday. Come tomorrow, Friday, Osborne Family Lights starts. And for this year, they have actually a new Jack Skellington sort of sequence where he sings What's This, you know, the song from the show. So there's a new added part of Osborne Family Lights. And also, Dave, Anna and Elsa from Frozen have just started doing their, you know, lighting the castle ceremony called Frozen Holiday Wish that, you know, replaces the old Cinderella lighting show. It's about 9 minutes. I think it occurs a couple of times a day where they light the castle and, you know, Elsa uses her magic powers and et cetera, et cetera. But Christmas is going full blown at Disney as we speak.
It's a little early to light the castle, don't you think?
Well, I mean, they've been doing this for a while. I mean, they've already started doing the Christmas parties. I think the last Halloween party is November 1st, usually. I think they do one Halloween party the day after Halloween. Right. And then within, like, I know, like, the next day or two, they have the Christmas decorations out.
It's
and
amazing.
Yeah, and they're already doing Christmas parties, you know, pretty much now. So they go right into it.
They could give us a couple of weeks, I think. But I understand they want to make the most of their of what they've invested here. So
I'm not a big fan of the Christmas decorations. They've changed them because of the parade for the Festival of Fantasy Parade. They've had these weird kind of structures with the wreaths are out. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, I haven't seen that. You mean on Main Street?
Yeah, it looks different.
Is it because the floats are too tall?
I think so. I believe so.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I haven't seen the pictures yet, so okay. I'll take a look at that and see what you mean.
Should we go to the next one?
Sure.
Dave, over in Morocco, the replacement for the Moroccan has started. This is another doozy.
Have fun.
Benet Al Houarats? Well, how about that? Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. How would I know?
Well, they've begun performing at the Morocco Pavilion. It seems a lot more, I don't know what the word, ethnic, I guess, than Moroccan
was. Oh, certainly, yeah, certainly.
You know, I've seen the video clips. It's a little, I mean, it's fine. I probably would rather see this than Moroccan. I was not a fan, as people who listen to the show are Moroccan, but this seems a little bit more cultural to me. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. They've begun.
I would say you're probably right. It is a little bit more ethnic and cultural. It's also a little bit more dull. I watched the other day, and it was kind of – that just doesn't seem like something you'd sit there and watch a lot of.
Yeah, probably not.
But I never want to make these kind of judgments in the first week that something happens. You know, I mean, every musician, everything changes, all these – you know, they'll learn as they go on, and they'll change their show accordingly. So I reserve judgment on anything like this until then. But yeah, it definitely is something you would consider more cultural than Moroccan was, for sure.
I also like to see it live too before I make.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Something like this, anyway. Yeah. The Canadian Lumberjack show. I have no need to see that live.
No.
But something like this, or the flags or the thing at Italy or whatnot, I would. I want to see it live before I really, because it's hard to really get a sense of the, I don't know, sitting there in front of your computer watching it, it's going to be a lot quicker to become dull by, you know, bored by it than,
absolutely, than
being there, absolutely, and seeing them perform. So I'll give them a shot live.
Mike, I'm curious, since you mentioned the Canadian Lumberjack show, I mean, you're a little bit more dialed into social media and stuff like that than I am. I'm curious what the sort of, you know, I didn't like it. I know you didn't either, and there's a lot of reasons why I didn't like it. I wonder, is that the accepted feeling behind it, or are people digging it, or what's...
I have not seen anything positively said about it, to be honest. I've seen some people who can't stand it, and I've seen some people who, like, didn't care. But I can't recall anybody who said, you know, this is fantastic, I love this. I know they got booed the other day.
Oh, no. Did they really?
Yeah, well, I think somebody, I think one of the Lumberjacks, you know, screwed up something. I don't know, throwing an axe or whatever. I have no idea. I heard on Twitter that they got booed.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, personally, I think it's terrible. I hope it doesn't last long.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. But the talk about it has certainly died down the first few days. I mean, a lot of people were talking about it. A lot of people did not like it and were saying it on the social media. But, you know, the furor about it has died down to, I don't think anybody really cares anymore.
No, I wouldn't think so either. And, you know, I was just curious how it was gone over. I mean, obviously, I didn't like it for a lot of reasons. But, you know, who knows? Okay.
Some people talked about it recently because Off Kilter is playing this week, you know, this coming weekend.
Yes, they are, and I was going to mention that. They're playing at something that's called the British Bonfire Night, and I think it's in Kissimmee. And they are
right.
They're doing a show there for that. So for those of you who are local, look that up. If you're an Off Kilter fan, you'll find them there.
It's funny how Off Kilter is playing at a British festival.
I think, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know.
But they were Canadian.
Well, they're actually Floridian, but.
What I don't understand is why they're doing this. Isn't this a celebration of the November the 5th, the whole Guy Fawkes thing and the British bonfires and all that?
Guy Fawkes, yeah, yes.
But they're playing on November 8th. Why is the festival not on November 5th?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows?
It's like having a July 4th party on July 7th.
Yeah. The whole Guy Fawkes Day, anyway, is a little bit of a hilarity to begin with. So, I mean, you know, it's not really.
Yeah, I know.
It's not really taken as sacred by any means.
Just seemed odd.
It is odd.
On November 8th or whatever it was.
Yeah, it is odd. It's probably the weekend, right? I mean, I don't know when was
it.
Guy Fawkes
it is,
Day,
yeah.
I think, was yesterday.
Yeah, it's that sounds. I believe they're playing Saturday night off kilter.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah, cool. But if you're a big fan, go check them out.
Yeah, although, absolutely.
By the time this show comes out, it'll be all over.
That's true. You're right. Good point. We'll cut that all out. What's next?
All right, Dave. There's a lot actually going on and being announced over at Disney Springs. A few things. First of all, one of the parking garages apparently should be operational by the final week of November, which will, of course, help alleviate a lot of the parking nightmare that is going on down there now, especially with, you know, the Christmas season coming and, yeah, and all this kind of stuff.
My so goodness.
Having one of the garages at least partially operational would be a great benefit. Disney has – we may just go through all five of them. We'll talk about at the end. Sure. Disney has announced the Boathouse coming to Disney Springs. It is a Gibson restaurant, which they've apparently well-received in Chicago and stuff, a steakhouse. But this one is going to be a nautically-themed seafood steaks and chops kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the concept art that you can see, it looks interesting to me. You know, very thematic in its look. It's going to be right on the water. And you're also going to be able to take water cruises, either in the amphibicars, which I think we've talked about in prior shows, and other boats that will be coming out of the boathouse will be part of this structure. Morimoto, who is a Iron Chef from, you know, the Food Network fame, he is getting an upscale Asian place also in the same general area. And finally, Dave, two other stores have been announced. One is the Art of Shaving, which is a upscale shaving supply kind of store, is going to be in the new landing area right by Raglan Road. And Baby Cakes NYC, which of course was present, you know, I guess it's probably been gone for over a year now. It was in downtown Disney. Where it was taken down, is being redone, but it's coming back. You can still obviously get Baby Cakes stuff all throughout the parks, but a bakery is coming for downtown Disney as well, also at the landing near Raglan Road. So a lot of stuff is going on at Disney Springs.
Yeah, a lot of progress on them. And the Boathouse is going to be in the old Captain Jack's area?
I thought it was... It might be. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to be. I know it's in the landing, I think. It might be in the Captain Jack's area.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious where that was, because I've seen a couple... saw one bit of concept art, and that's what it looked like. But then again, at the same time, you know, the concept art didn't include some of the stuff behind it, but they could be building a new pier. Who knows? I have no idea. I don't know anything about the Asian one that was coming at all.
Well, I mean, I know who Morimoto is. He's a famous chef. You know, he's one of these celebrity chefs. He's got a place in New York City, very upscale and pricey. I suspect that this place will not be quite as pricey as a New York City, Manhattan kind of place, but expect it to be expensive, expect it to be sushi and, you know, all that kind of stuff, as well as, you know, other Asian, popular dishes. It's big, too. I mean, both these places are going to be quite big. And what I like is they're both very different from anything else at Disney.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what I do like about it, is that they are different. Do we have time frames in these?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Next year sometime, though. I mean, I think all they're saying right now is 2015.
Okay. Man, you people trying to go shopping down there for Christmas are going to... Boy.
Yeah, I don't go to Disney. Well, downtown Disney... anytime right now. Yeah. I mean, when we were there the last trip for a week, I didn't set foot on downtown Disney.
Yeah, it's going to be painful for the Christmas season for sure.
But they're announcing stuff. You know, things are going to start opening. Certainly by the time, you know, this time next year, parts of it will be open. They're putting up structures so that, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, Dave, but some of the, you know, there's going to be almost like a second level of downtown Disney, over where... I guess this is going to be like in the downtown area where there's going to be like, you know, overhang and you can actually walk above it, kind of that, you know, park in New York City kind of feel to it.
Yep, the High Line thing. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, they're putting that up now. There's a lot going on. A new waterside park has opened up. The food truck park is going to be opening up soon and ready to rock and roll. So a lot is going on right now.
Yeah, that, there's some interesting concepts going on here, and it'll be cool to see what happens with, at the end of it. But yeah,
I like the boathouse idea. I'm looking forward. I mean, I'm not a seafood fan. I know they have a raw bar. They're going to have three different bars that located in this facility. You know, banquet halls, several differently themed rooms. But it should be a lot of fun. This kind of this kind of nautical theme, and also the amphibicars and the Venetia water cruises. You're going to be able to get 40 and 20 minute water cruises around the water. I like the fact that they're using the water a lot more, it seems, with this new development.
Yeah, it is nice, and it's certainly a good idea. I agree 100%. What's next?
Actually, Dave, that be it.
That's it? All right. So we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we'll have a little discussion on what we want to see out of the new Harambe. We'll explain more right after this. Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida is the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JomboEveryone.com. Jen can do everything you need done in order to book your next Walt Disney World vacation and have the time of your life. She is an expert in everything Disney and will remove all the stress of booking your trip. And she is as committed to conservation as we are. So every vacation you book, or even every quote you request, means Jen and Destinations in Florida will make a donation to the Jumbo Everyone conservation effort. You can contact Jen directly by emailing her at jennifer.g@destinationsinflorida.com or by calling her directly at 443-424-0181. You can also head over to JomboEveryone.com and click the Destinations in Florida icon to get your vacation started. Seriously, what can be better than booking a Disney World vacation while helping to save wildlife?
Yayo, Africa. Wasa, 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 wasa lele.
Wasa lele.
Yayo, Africa.
Wasa lele.
Wasa, 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 wasa lele.
And welcome back to Radio Harambe. I'm Dave McBride, joined by Safari Mike. And for weeks, we have been talking about what is by now the worst kept secret in Disney's Animal Kingdom, another expansion coming to Harambe. And in case you haven't been following this story, allow us to bring you up to date a bit. Here is what we know for sure at this point. While Disney has yet to admit to anything regarding this project, and I mean they haven't admitted to even its existence, much of it's going on in a plain view of everyone who is in Harambe, or at least everyone who is by the area where Kilimanjaro Safaris exits in the Pangani Forest and the Rafiki's Planet Watch. Between the building that makes up the Zuwani Traders and the Mombasa Marketplace, it's one building, and the entrance to the train station out to Rafiki's, there are construction walls and large buildings going up behind them that are no longer being hidden by the walls. What we also know for certain is that Disney filed a permit with the county to begin construction on a project called DAK Harambe Expansion Water Tower Show Set, although we have no confirmation or really any idea of what exactly that means. Mike tells us from his information that we can expect a pathway leading from the aforementioned area near the train station to the current path that leads towards Asia, thus helping better control crowds leading out of the new Festival of the Lion King Theater. And overhead aerial photographs confirm that this is basically the general direction of where this is going. Mike has also said in the past that he expects there to be an open-air market element to it as well. Honestly, the rumor mill up to this point has been pretty dry on this one, which is very odd for a project so seemingly near an announcement and, you know, completion. I'm starting to hear in the last couple of weeks from some sources here and there that there may in fact be a small attraction involved in this. Some are saying not as small as maybe one might think, but I don't buy that. That would certainly explain the use of the word show set in the permit. But that is all just speculation and a little hearsay right now. So, Mike, I thought for today's feature, we would take this opportunity to get to not only kind of, you know, get everybody up to date on this, but also give our suggestions for the area.
Okay.
Now, from the aerial views, which you but we both have seen on the construction site, this is not a small area by any means being cleared. It's not a gigantic area, but it's not a small area. It's roughly about the size of Harambe now, of the old Harambe, I should say.
Right. A little bit smaller than that.
Possibly. Right. I don't think that it's big enough to contain a show building as well as, and because what people don't understand is that even for dark rides, mm-hmm. often the show buildings are, it would be, the show building itself would be bigger than probably even the Tusker House would be if we were to do a dark ride or a traditional ride or something like that.
Sure.
Theaters, like the footprints of a theater, like the entire Festival of Lion King theater is probably about as big as this area being cleared.
Close to it anyway, that's for
right,
sure.
Right.
Maybe a little bit smaller, but close.
So we're not talking about a big e-ticket attraction going in here. So with that in mind, I thought we would discuss our ideas on what we would like to see there. But before we do that, I want to make sure that I've explained everything leading up to this point.
You have. The only thing I would add, Dave, is that can I pat ourselves on the back?
Of course. Now, okay. Pat yourself on the back.
Before they even put up a wall and started clearing the stuff, we had gotten information that they were going to build something back there. Like a market, and those same sources that I have never strayed from. It's going to be like this open air, or the food element anyway, will be an open air market, much like the Sunset Ranch at Disney's Hollywood Studios over at Sunset Boulevard, which is to say, three or four smaller building counter service type places. And a lot of outdoor seating where you can, mix and mingle and stuff like that. At Sunset Ranch, somebody can go over there and get the fried chicken while the other person goes over and gets the... It's not unlike Sunshine Seasons in the land, except that's inside. This would be more outside. That kind of idea. And everything I've seen from the construction kind of supports that. There's several relatively large buildings. None of them are big enough to hold, from what I can tell, a major indoor food, like a Tusker House type of house. They all seem, maybe on the scale of like a Tamu Tamu size building, if that makes sense. So that seems to be what it's going to be. The other thing that we have heard is that the fruit market that is over right in front of Kilimanjaro Safari will likely move over to this area and become a part of this sort of... what I've been referring to as Harambe Market, but that's just the made-up name that we come up with, just because I have nothing else to call it.
Right.
And perhaps the Dole Whips that are currently on sale at Tamu Tamu may be moved to the fruit market in this new area. So that is sort of what I think everything that we've heard so far.
Okay. Like I said, with the area being cleared is certainly leading us up to the road that currently exists that goes from between Asia and Africa. So we know that there's going to be an outlet in there as well.
Right.
I think we both, well, certainly you thought from the beginning that this may be nothing more than that with some things on there to buy. But the construction has kind of changed that a little bit, I would say, mm-hmm. Because we're starting to see buildings now. So rather than just like... kiosk style buildings. We're actually seeing one that's like a multi-story building.
Right.
A building the size of like Mombasa or one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be something more substantial, we can assume. So with that in mind, let's give our suggestions for what we would like to see. And I'm going to go first.
Alrighty.
The first thing I would like to see, when you look at the aerial photos, the area being cleared goes all the way up to the train tracks for the Eastern Star Railway that leads out to Rafiki's Palana Watch.
Okay.
And at the current time, when the photo was taken, it was completely open all the way out to the train. You could see all the way out there. I hope that stays that way. I would love to be in this marketplace and see that train coming by however many times an hour, because it's a gorgeous train.
That would be cool.
And it would add a little bit of ambiance to it. It is a beautifully themed train. I mean, it looks so authentic to the African trains. I mean, it's amazingly nice. I would love to see that stay there, and I hope they don't block that train up. I don't know how they would fix it logistically with the safety issues. I'm sure there's a thousand of them and lawyers all over the place with this. But that would be my first suggestion is, once I saw that, I said, I want that to stay. I hope they don't cover up the train, because it'd be really cool there.
I would think that would be, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
The train is great. I want to see more trains. I'd love, especially, you know, trains are a big deal in terms of the opening up of Africa and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So very thematic to that continent. I've always wanted actually a train, Dave, that goes from Harambe to Kadani Village to Jumbo House. I thought that would be fantastic. But
yeah, well, you and me both.
This is a good backup though to that. You'd be able to watch the train go by and enjoy it, sort of kind of like what you do in Storybook Circus if you wanted to watch, you know, the Walt Disney Railroad going around. I mean, people like to watch it, so I think that would be great.
Yeah, it's really cool, and that engine that they have there and that whole train is just so well done and so beautifully built. It's fantastic, and it does deserve to be appreciated a little bit more than it is, and it would add so much ambiance to Harambe to have that train coming by. Okay, so what is one of your suggestions?
Well, Dave, I'll go to the food first, and
shock. You know,
this open air market kind of idea. You know, in Zanzibar, which is a island off the coast of Tanzania, that's, you know, it's very thematically aligned to Harambe. And if you see pictures of old stone town in Zanzibar, it looks a lot like Harambe. And they do this, you know, there's a lot of like shish kebab type things. And Zanzibar is actually known as the Spice Island, and they still grow cinnamon and black pepper and other things there. I would love some authentic African, especially Zanzibarian type of foods. I know they make like a pizza, which is, this might sound gross, Dave, off the top of your, you know, when you first hear it, but it's vegetables, eggs, and mayonnaise, which is then put into a very light dough and, you know, basically grilled. You know, stuff like that. And, you know, meat on a stick. Of course, everybody loves meat on a stick.
Who doesn't?
you know, that kind of stuff. You know, a couple of different kiosks that, I mean, listen, I know it's Disney and you're going to be able to get a cheeseburger or a jumbo turkey leg. I get it. But I would like at least, I mean, if there are four, let's say there are four kiosks, I would like at least two of them to be more, you know, more like Tamu Tamu, where you have the pulled beef and the mint sauce and a pita and, you know, that kind of stuff, a little bit more ethnic. And, you know, Animal Kingdom does this pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of spots where you can get stuff that's a little bit off the beaten path. That's not your typical theme park fare. So I hope at least one or two of these, you know, market areas would have something a little bit funkier, a little bit more daring.
I would be surprised if all of them weren't that way, other than the fruit and the, you know, things like that. I don't think you're going to find a place here that does hot dogs and turkey legs, like you said. I just don't see that in the Animal Kingdom. They haven't done that yet at the Animal Kingdom, so I don't expect it to be here.
Well, Restaurantosaurus is that, you know.
Right, but that's over in a place that doesn't have the theme. I mean, they haven't broken the theme culinarily in either Africa or Asia up to this point.
That's true.
You know, you may have something kind of hidden in there. You know, you may have a hot dog in the kids' meals,
right,
you know, or something like that. But I don't think you're going to get, you know, a turkey leg stand. I'd be surprised.
At one point in time, I believe a Tamu Tamu was a burger joint. Was it? Long time ago. I mean, I know initially Tamu was the ice cream spot.
Yes.
And because that was Tusker House was a counter service at the time. Then when Tusker became a indoor restaurant, I believe they started selling burgers and stuff there initially. And
I don't remember that. If they did, I stand corrected, but I don't remember that.
But you could go back to that, I suppose. You know, maybe make Tamu a little bit more of your, you know, for the boring people who just want funnel cake and a hot dog.
Go to Dinoland. If that's what you want. Really, go to Dinoland. I mean, that's my feeling on it.
That's far, though, from Africa.
Whatever.
That's far.
Well, if that's what you're going to eat, you can use the exercise.
All right.
So, I would say, you know, is this the opportunity for me to start lobbying for the African spice cake to get its own little stand somewhere that we can all just queue up for?
You might have to forget about that.
I know. I can't. My first dining suggestion would be, if it is at all possible, and I'm not sure that it is because of the size of the area, I've always said there needs to be another sit-down restaurant, certainly one for dinner, a nighttime kind of sit-down restaurant. Obviously, the park's going to scream out for it once we start putting the Rivers of Light in and the Avatar and other things. This project, if you think about it, Avatar is only a couple of years away. So if this stuff starts opening next year, you're only talking about a little bit of a lag there. And I would like to see – go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dave, to that effect, the Rivers of Light, from everything we hear, is going to be opened March 2016, right before Easter of 2016. Right. So – that's even closer than Avatar, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. So having another dining spot would be good. I think the thing that pops into my head is to do a better version of the Spice Road table, or whatever they call that, over at Morocco. Like kind of a tapas thing with all the African. Because what Mike mentioned before was Zanzibar, and that kind of stuck in my head. This is true for the entire eastern coast of Africa, really. Certainly up in this area that that Harambe is inspired by, the Kenya-Tanzania area. Zanzibar and all of those ports are very heavily influenced by traders from all over the world. Arab, Asian, I mean, everything European, everything you could imagine is an influence in there. So, as Mike was mentioning, the food from that area is so varied and has so many different influences that it cries out to me for a tapas type of presentation. Disney just has to learn how to do tapas correctly, and hopefully they can do it here. You know, because this is the spot where this could be. And when you have, if you put it at the end towards the road to Asia, it thematically works because you have that crossroads between Asia and Africa, which is, you know, I mean, the melting pot of all these things is right there. And so that would be my suggestion, is to do another sit-down restaurant, and kind of blend everything here. Everything that works thematically into sort of a Zanzibar tapas type of restaurant.
You know, Dave, I was thinking, you know, one thing that they could do here, and it sort of comes off of that. I mean, you know, before I'm always a big fan. I'm a big fan of Ethiopian food, and I would love an Ethiopian restaurant, but I'm going to move off of that.
Right.
How about like a lounge that's kind of adventure clubby, not a full blown adventurers club, but something very thematic to the trade route. You know, this is the Spice Island area, you know, the Spice Road and all that kind of stuff. And even that whole, even as you know, Dave, the whole pathway there that goes from Asia to Africa is sort of themed. The Flights of Wonder is themed to that as well.
Spice Road,
yeah. The caravan. So to have maybe something on the other side of that path, sort of maybe at the end of this new entry into Harambe, to be sort of like a lounge, like a way stop on the road, themed, you know, a lot of artifacts and all that kind of stuff. And you could serve, you know, food and drinks and all that kind of stuff. Tapas would work well in a lounge type of atmosphere.
Yeah, great. I think that's a great idea.
And they've actually sort of started doing this at Victoria Falls. You know, we talked about this a couple of shows ago where they had sort of this tapas kind of menu rolling out. I think it would be great. And you're absolutely right, Dave. As we get closer to Rivers of Light coming up, they're going to have to open up more food and, you know, more dining options.
Yep.
This is obviously geared towards that to some way, to, you know, increase the capacity for food. I mean, they're increasing the parking lot. They're You know, they're increasing, you know, areas for eating. They expect more people to be in this park later on at night. And when you're there later on at night, people want to sit down and have a meal.
Yes.
As opposed to maybe in the 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they might not, you know, they're more counter service oriented, I think, the general public.
Sure.
But dinner time, you know, people like to sit down. So they need to offer a more along those lines. So whether it's here or whether it's, you know, in Avatar Land or back in Discovery Island or whatever they're going to do, they're going to have to open up at least one or two more sit down restaurants. But a lounge there, kind of themed to the trade routes, like the other side of Asia, I think would work really well. And you can, you know, give the decor of, get a sense of like the Adventurers Club. I don't mean for it to be this grand right. Lounge, but just sort of fun decor where, you know, people would enjoy sitting there having a drink, you know, maybe having, you know, whatever, you know, you could think of whatever kind of tapas you want. So, you know, a small steak thing or whatever. I think it would be phenomenal.
Not a bad idea at all. I like it. I would say that the idea of dinner and a movie or dinner and a show has certainly worked for Epcot for all these years. And it could work here as well.
I mean, it just doesn't work for Epcot, Dave. It works for Hollywood Studios, too. I mean, they have the fantastic dining
absolutely,
package.
Absolutely. So. Yep. And so I think it can work here as well. You can do a dining package just like they do over there. And, you know, I think that's a great idea. Do you have another idea?
Sure. I mean, we could talk about shopping if you want.
I mean, go ahead, yeah, because I got shopping. One for those, too.
You do? Okay.
I do.
I do like Mombasa Marketplace. I don't really have anything specific in mind, but I do like that kind of very specific, this store only sells kind of things. You know, I've seen some new shirts about the Harambe Wildlife Reserve that just look phenomenal.
Yeah, I need them.
Yeah, I know, me too. You know, the old Kilimanjaro Safari shirts are now at the outlet stores. I think they pulled those.
Yeah, I need these new ones. They look great. Yeah.
But I like stuff like that. I mean, if we can get, you know, specific to Harambe, specific to even Festival of the Lion King or stuff like that, some more interesting stuff, more carvings from Africa, more of that kind of stuff, I think. It's just fun to look around Mombasa Marketplace. And I would like another place like that to look around.
Here is what my idea is.
Okay.
A Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund shop.
Ooh, I like that.
I would do branded merchandise for the fund. I would have every purchase in the store go in some respect, however many percent, 10% or something, towards the conservation fund. Be animal focused, be, you know, conservation focused, have a collection of books on conservation efforts, have, some great animal stuff. And, you know, the logo itself and make it only available in this one spot. You can do pins, there's whole sorts of stuff you can do here. But I was thinking of something along the lines of almost like a zoo gift shop. But with Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund as sort of the logo to use for these things. So you could put that logo on plush animals. You could put that logo on anything you want.
Right.
You know, and do that. I like your idea as well. I'm hoping that that kind of stuff will continue into the new shopping, into any new shopping, because the Mombasa Marketplace is one of the best gift shops in all of Walt Disney World. Certainly one of my favorites. So I would like to see them just kind of build on the DWCF and get that brand name out there. Get that bit more into the mind of the average Animal Kingdom guest, that conservation fund. And I think that's one of the ways they can do it.
Yeah, that would work well there. That would also work well in Rafiki's or even on Discovery Island. But I like the way – I like the direction Disney's sort of been taking recently with terms of their in terms of their shopping with the new Haunted Mansion store. Definitely. With the, you know, they're going to open up a tiki store over in Adventureland. And I just want to see them continue with that and something like, you know, Mombasa Marketplace, which I think is in that mold, you know, continue that, that kind of idea is, I'd love it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. The last one that I have, Mike.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're going to chime in on this as well. Cause okay. I can just sense it. I would like to see some kind of small animal viewing area.
Right.
And I say that I don't know what you have in mind, but I'm thinking of is something along the lines of like, you know, where the giant anteater is or something like that. Those small animal viewing areas are all throughout the rest of the park, but not in Africa. They don't have these small, you know, these kind of walk around little. I mean, you think about even in Dino Land, they have one with the crocodile.
And the birds, storks. Yeah, right there.
Obviously, Asia's animal viewing areas are slightly bigger, but they're still there right in the middle of town. So as you're walking around the park, you're able to see animals almost everywhere except in Africa.
Right.
And I would like to see them, you know, and I would like to see them add something. The thing that comes into my mind is not far from Zanzibar is Madagascar. Might be a good place for some lemurs. Because they're incredibly cute and fun and cool to watch. That's just the one that comes off the top of my head.
Yeah, generally, you know, things like primates. And obviously the good example of this is in Anandapur, where you have, you know, the gibbons and the siamangs right there in your face as you're walking around. I mean, you can't really go far without seeing them, you know, walking around by the Yak and Yeti and stuff.
Right.
So some sort of primate would be good, whether that's a lemur or, you know, a colobus monkey or something like that. I thought of, and Dave, I had this on my list as well, wouldn't it be cool to have this, maybe this is where the hyenas go, and you could see the hyenas right there. I mean, there are towns in Africa where hyenas come right into this town, where they're, that's, you know, they're almost like, you know, raccoons.
That is true. You're right about that.
It'd be cool to have the hyenas right there where you can, you know, where you're having a bite and watching the train go by, you know, go over and, you know, just sit there and watch the hyenas. You know, the only problem with them is they tend to be a lot less active than primates. The good thing about primates is they're usually moving around.
Yeah.
During the day anyway. Hyenas are not too far from lions where there's a lot of sleeping going on. So that might be a little bit more difficult. I'm not sure how good they are in terms of having all that noise right there. The gibbons don't mind, but they're a little bit off. They're in a moat. They're a little bit away. But I anticipate this area being kind of noisy, so I'm not sure how that would work. But I would love to see some type of animal exhibit. Hyenas were the one I thought of, but primates would work well too.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I don't really know what else would work other than those things that you mentioned. I was racking my brain all day for what would be a small, you know, something that wouldn't require a lot of space, because you don't really need a lot. You don't have a lot of open space here to deal with. So,
right.
You know, it's just what came to my mind. Any other suggestions on your end?
Well, Dave, have you thought about attractions at all?
I didn't go with it because, again, in the beginning, I thought, as I said in the beginning, I thought probably the most you're going to be able to put in here would be something along the lines of like a spinner or something like that. I just don't see how an attraction would fit thematically into an open air marketplace. And so I didn't, and I don't see where they could put a show building, so they can't do anything really large. If you look,
right, you're not going to get a Lion King dark ride like the Little Mermaid one.
Yeah. They would have to tear up the railroad in order to do that,
right?
And
right.
They're not going to do that.
No.
So that's why. But what did you?
No, not really. I was thinking of myself. I was trying to think of what I mean for the small space. It would almost have to be a flat ride of some type, you know, like, you know, Primeval World or something like that. I mean, something carnival like. And I just don't know what they could do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, again, what comes to my mind is, you know, the only thing that comes to my mind is a spinner. It's the only thing I can think of that they can do. And I'm not really, you know, big on that idea. I don't think having a spinner ride in the middle of a marketplace like that would be all that nice to look at or, you know.
Right, right. I mean, there are different kinds of, like, flat rides like that, like carnival-type rides that they could do, like little tiny coasters and things
like
that.
Sure, I mean, they could do something really little fit for kids, yeah.
I don't know how it would fit. I guess we'll have to just wait and see if there is going to be an attraction here. But the one thing that's interesting to me is, you know, with Harambe Nights was a hit. They, you know, it sold out every night. People raved about it.
Right.
I didn't hear one bad thing about Harambe Nights. And that kind of has this kind of atmosphere that we're talking about, this kind of street fair, because that's what they did.
Right.
You know, they just kind of doled out food right there in around Harambe. So I'm wondering if this is kind of, you know, that was so popular. What maybe this is sort of like, you know, if this was, you know, guys, this was really a big hit. Let's bring this all the time. And to emphasize that, I would love to see them perhaps build a better area for Barutica. I mean, Barutica's in a good spot now. But, you know, it does kind of clog up the path there when they're playing. You know, maybe a little bit better of a stage area for them and the Tam Tam guys, you know, over in this area would work out maybe a little bit better for them and create more walkway for, you know, the older, you know, the original Harambe area. So that's something that I might mind seeing. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I think that there's two ways to look at that. The obviously, Mike, you're 100% right. It creates a bottleneck in right. there, especially during busy times, because they are both terrific and people want to stop and listen to them. Also, because you're creating the bottleneck, you're almost not encouraging people to stay and watch them because mm-hmm. people are like, you know, I'm getting in the way here. We don't have enough room. So, yeah, building a stage, an a la Off Kilter style stage that's set back a little bit off of a path and, you know, and has maybe some benches and some things like that would be perfect, obviously, for them. However, at the same time, there's something so... So, as you come over as you come over the bridge down into Harambe and one of the bands is playing, I mean, there's such a party atmosphere in front of you. It's such an inviting thing. It's such a kinetic and inviting kind of, you know, sensory, you know, overload going on to you as you're coming into this amazingly beautiful place with all this stuff going on, this music happening, people dancing. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if they want to lose that. I mean, it's such a great draw. You know, it really brings people into Harambe and kind of welcomes you into the area.
Right.
So I could see both sides of it. I personally would like to see a place where, yes, I can sit or stand off to the side and enjoy where I think people can do. But I wonder if they put it over into a side stage like that, if it would get still the same kind of reaction.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. So there's a couple of ways to look at that. Honestly, though, I would be stunned if you're not right, because I do think that the logistics folks have been probably begging for that area to clear up, especially since the Lion King came in there.
Yeah, because, it gets pretty bad there at times.
Yeah, and to have that stage right smack dab in the middle of it is, yeah, I mean, you could see where there's an issue there. That's for sure. Cool. Any other thoughts before we go?
The only other one, Dave, that I had that came to my mind, it really has nothing to do with this new area. Well, it does to a degree. But, you know, at Harambe Nights, they had Mickey and Minnie meeting people, mm-hmm. and they had these cool African garbs. I don't know if you saw these online.
I did.
I'd love to see Tusker House start doing character dinners as well as this area gets, you know, stays up later and later and the park opens later. And use those, and you know, maybe with Rafiki and Timon, make it a little bit different than the breakfast with Donald and, you know, the safari stuff. Make this more of a nighttime thing and a little bit, you know, make it different for a character dinner. But other than that, that's all I got.
Isn't it true, though, that whenever people go to a character meal, they get upset if they don't see Mickey Mouse?
I mean, well, it seems
like he always ends up in there eventually.
Right. Well, that's why I would have him. If I had a character dinner, I would have Mickey and Minnie in their Harambe Nights African garb.
Yeah, which is cool.
Rafiki and Timon.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great idea. I'd be surprised. Again, I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen, because if we do add another restaurant and we start to open up dinner times and we need tables and places for people to eat, I mean, a character meal would be obviously a big draw, and it's a big building.
Right, and we are hearing, well, at least I have heard, that it's, the plan is sometime, you know, maybe next year, or maybe when Rivers of Light starts to open in early 2016, Tusker House will have character dinners as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's an inevitability, I think.
I think so, too.
So, All right, so that'll do it.
All righty.
We will keep you up to date on JomboEveryone.com and in future episodes here. As soon as we hear anything, I think the both of us are a little surprised we've heard nothing official yet.
Sooner or later, there's going to be a Parks blog post, you know, giving you some details about this.
I keep waiting for one every day because,
me too.
You know, because the pictures that are coming out now, the construction site are, you know, you just have everybody coming off Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is basically everybody who walks into the park,
mm-hmm.
seeing this construction going on and must be asking questions. You know, and I don't know why at this point there wouldn't be any kind of information.
I don't know why Disney does it like this. I mean, for the Avatar land, they announce it ahead of time, you know, before they even have concept art.
Every time they turned a screw over in on the
Seven Dwarfs mine train.
Yeah, every time they hammered a nail into a board, there was an announcement about it.
Right, but they don't say anything about this. This is almost like, you know, for people who remember this, when Bay Lake Towers was being built. I mean, the building was
right
almost complete, and they were denying that there was anything going on there.
Yeah,
I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it got to the point where it was ludicrous.
Yeah,
that they were denying that there was, you know, an addition coming to Contemporary. And that was, but the reason for that was because they wanted to sell the other DVC lots before they opened this one up to sale or announced it.
Which makes really all the sense in the world. That doesn't apply here at all.
Yeah, so I don't get why they don't say, hey, you know, in summer of 2015, there's going to be this new cool restaurant and, you know, whatever.
Sure, yeah. It is weird. Well, like I said, we'll keep you posted whenever we hear anything more. And we also like to thank you once again for tuning into Radio Harambe. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a review there as well. Those reviews really do help to get the word out on the show. Don't forget to check our website, JomboEveryone.com. You'll find everything you need to know about Disney's Animal Kingdom. While there, we also ask you to check out our store. We're selling some great unofficial Animal Kingdom merchandise, and all of our profits go to our conservation partners. Also, feel free to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Radio Harambe, and Mike is at Jombo Everyone. I officially went over the 1,000 followers mark.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it took me forever. You're up to about 40,000, so I don't really know what I'm talking
Hardly.
About. But I'm barely ever on there, so I'm happy about it. You know, I got people listening. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. You can find all those links, as I said, at JomboEveryone.com. So thanks once again. So for Safari Mike, I am Dave McBride. Kwa Harini, go well, and thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe. Kwa